The Burt Show.
All right, a whole bunch of you guys are going to be seeing Princess and the Frog this weekend.
I suppose you want a kiss.
Kissing would be nice, yes?
So I saw this movie last week with Hayden, at least three-fourths of it before I left for the SEC Championship. And I thought it was a great movie. I really thought it really is going to be like this classic Disney movie. It's not the computer-generated animation that we're used to from Disney. They've gone back to, like, hand animation, and it just has this really warm feel to it. It's a great movie.
I got to see half of it because I was in the same theater as Bert and was there with my goddaughter, who is not even three yet, so she didn't make it through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
She started running around in the aisles, and so we bailed. So I don't know how it ends, but I did get to see the majority of it and thought it was a great movie.
This is Hayden's review of the movie.
My favorite part of the movie was
my seven-year-old.
When the frog was going to kiss the princess, and then his mouth went up, and then a sack came out. He went like, whoosh, whoosh. And I was threw up in the theater. It smelled really bad. I would give this movie an A. It's another timeless classic from Disney.
A timeless classic.
How old is he?
7 years old. Mm-hmm. Timeless classic. So producer Carl here, he was excited about the movie. His baby girl was excited about the movie also. And she's how old?
She's eight.
Eight. And why more excited about this Disney movie than others?
And you know what? I asked her about that, too. And I specifically asked her why was she so excited. And she said, Daddy, this is the first black princess. And I want to go sit on your lap. So she's aware that, now I've never told her that, but she is aware that this is the first black princess.
Now, how would she know that? She's watching TV, school. Somebody talking about school.
I'm sure school and her friends. My 8-year-old, she hangs with a real high IQ level of friends, so I'm sure they probably
tell
her.
Right.
Well, I'm sure they've talked about it and everything. So we've been up on this for the last, since Disney on Ice.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw the Disney on Ice back in September. Then next thing you know, I started seeing a bunch of Princess and the Frog books come across in the house laying around. So my wife's been buying it. So I've been knowing about this, but I wasn't really aware that she was. I didn't feed it to her. Like, this is the first black princess. She just picked up on it. And that just shows to me how important it is to her subconsciously. So,
when she said that to you, were you like all of a sudden excited about taking her
exactly,
to the movie?
Exactly. At first I was, because I knew it was the first black princess and all that. But when she recognized it and I saw like the twinkle in her eye and she was just like, oh, yeah, that made me want to go ahead and just push this along and keep it. You know, keep it in the forefront. For my 3-year-old, too, she's even starting to realize it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cute.
My 3-year-old just started, right?
That's so cute.
So I went to see the movie, and I totally forgot about the whole controversy thing. And
you know what?
But what's the controversy is.
I didn't even know there was controversy until this morning.
Well, here it is. The headline is, does Disney's Princess and the Frog deserve the controversy? And it's a little bit lengthy, so let me just skip around a little bit. In 2006, when Disney first announced they were finally bringing a black princess to the big screen with Princess and the Frog, it was cause for celebration, long overdue yet still worth celebrating. The honeymoon didn't last long. The first cries of foul came quickly, with critics bemoaning the lead character's announced name and occupation. She'd be a maid for a white family named Maddie. When her name and occupation were labeled demeaning, Disney was quick to respond, renaming the heroine Tiana and recasting her as a chef. So crisis was averted. Until early this year, anyway, when it was revealed that our groundbreaking African-American princess would not, in fact, be falling in love with an African-American prince. It's unclear what ethnicity her dreamy Prince Naveen is exactly. And I've seen the movie. And I didn't know if he was white or if he was black or he was Middle Eastern.
Right. I was thinking Middle Eastern.
This goes on to say his first name is Indian. He's from the fictional land of Maldonia, and he's voiced by a Brazilian actor, but he's certainly not black nor white for that matter, as reported in some camps. Outrage ensued, with the popular refrain coming in question form, we can have a black president in office, but not a black Disney prince? Are the criticisms warranted, or are the reactions excessive? Depends on how you look at it, this article says. There are some reasonable questions being asked. If a film set in 1920s New Orleans, where most of the characters are black, why isn't the prince? Why make the princess clearly culturally definable, yet the prince ambiguous? After 70 years of white princess, doesn't the black community deserve a prince to call their own? And on the other hand, at the same time, shouldn't we credit Disney for diversifying their portfolio and promoting interracial relationships? Won't this scenario help teach our kids about racial tolerance? Aren't we all just overreacting here? After all, this is an animated movie for kids about people who transform themselves into frogs. The main characters even spend most of their screen time as reptile amphibians. So why should race even be an issue here? So the question remains, this article says, does Disney deserve all this controversy?
You know what I'd be fascinated to know on Monday, without influencing her at all? I'd like to know if your daughter notices. Like, we can debate it here, but I would like to know on Monday morning, mm-hmm. if your daughter comes in and say, and during the movie says, Daddy, how come?
You know, red and black, right?
Right. You mean the Black Prince?
Yeah.
I don't think she would. And actually, that's what I was going to say. When I first heard that the Prince, when I went to the Disney on Ice and saw the Prince was a white guy, I raised the eyebrow like, you know, like, okay, well, all right, well, it's not me. I'm a grown man, so it may affect me. But I thought about that, what you said, Bert, that it's not going to affect my daughter, especially, now don't get me wrong, if it was a white guy, then it'll be like, ugh. Maybe we're not, you know, crossing that barrier like I thought we were. But being that it's a multicultural type of person, like some guy from Maldonia, who knows what he is, I can understand that.
So if he was white, you'd have a problem with it. But the fact that we really don't know, because he's certainly not white,
right.
But he's certainly not black.
Right. Because if he was white, it's not really, the whole thing is that it's the first black princess and something that our black little girls can look up to and inspire to become. They can dream of becoming a princess, blah, blah, blah. But he marries a white guy. So, you know, that would kind of...
Mm-hmm. That sends a different message.
Yeah.
Even so, like, this feels like such a contrived debate to me. Because
right.
the fact of the matter is, in the movie, the dude's not white.
Right.
He's not. Mm-hmm. He's not black. He's not white. We don't know.
Right. And that's why I don't think that there's a big problem. Only with grown-ups, but with the children, I don't think it'll be an issue with my daughter at all.
I just noticed, like in movies, I mean, I did notice that it wasn't a black prince when I first saw the commercials. And mm-hmm. My friends, I've noticed in movies, if it's toward a mass audience, like a Hitch, like with Will Smith, they don't put him with a black woman. But if it is a movie that is by a black director geared toward a black audience, they have a full, you know, if it's a Tyler Perry movie or if it's Kenan Wayans movie, they always have, you know, a black man and a black woman together. But mm-hmm. mass market movies, they rarely put black and black mm-hmm. in the title characters. Mm-hmm. It's always black and Hispanic.
I think it is changing, though, because that Beyonce film, Obsessed, that had a lead black couple, and that was a mainstream film.
Right.
That's true.
I'm always the first to say, you know, there are some people that love to use the cliche that I don't see color. I just don't see color.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always the first to say I definitely see color, but I see it as a positive. Like, I see you black, and you bring things from your culture that I don't know about. I bring things from my culture, and I think that's a good thing to see each other as different and accept each other. But in this movie, I didn't think about it twice.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't see color in this movie.
But you know what? I think the most people, it's not just my daughter that's excited. It's my wife, my mom, mm-hmm. my sisters. So I think the black princess and the white guy or something other than the black affects them more so than my daughter. Because mm-hmm. my daughter's coming with the next phase. She's mm-hmm. not affected by that
mm-hmm. right.
white type, you know, black type thing. So it's good to move forward, I can see, but I also feel the effect that of my mom and my sisters and my wife and all of them.
Mm-hmm. Here's Ross. Good morning, Ross. Thanks for holding on, man.
Hey, guys. How's it going? To the state?
Okay, so you see the controversy with this thing. You think it's a problem?
I think it's a problem. First and foremost, like Carl was saying, like my wife growing up, she was excited to hear that, hey, you know, there is a movie, a Disney movie that's going to feature a black princess. And then reading into it, come to find out, like you guys said this morning, the princess is really not black. You know, she grew up seeing, you know, Snow White, and, you know, she's rescued by a prince, I think, or something like, what was the other one? Regardless of the fact, but and she goes and kisses a frog, and she becomes a frog. You know, like one of the known ugly creatures on this earth. It's like they get to kiss a prince, and, you know, they get to wake up. You know, she gets a prince. You know, she's running around shoeless and stuff. And the first black movie with a black princess in it, she becomes a frog. They're going backwards instead of forward.
Really?
I think that might be thinking one step too far into it. Like, it's a story about, it's a cartoon.
Remember now, you're coming from a Caucasian background.
Right.
Right, but I think,
But that's how fairy tales go.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be like that. But they're supposed to be imagination.
Cinderella turned back into the... You know, housekeeper at midnight, and the print,
But just like how you all are naming five different type of stories where you can always also revert to, this is the one story that black women feel that they have to revert to, and
hopefully
it's not
the first. Hopefully, this is not going to only be the one that
right. No. And this is the one and only right now. So just like it's, I can understand what Ross is saying because for older people. It's more important than it is just for the younger people. Mm-hmm. And this is just that one story. And then within that one story, it's not black this and black that. It's that one black and light-skinned guys. And, you know, it's just not direct.
Mm-hmm. I'm more offended by the Prince Charming concept than the rest of it. Like that we're still teaching our little girls like that Prince Charming's going to come in and make it all better for you. Like that to me should be more offensive to your daughters than
just a
all
cartoon.
That.
It's
I know,
just a cartoon.
But it's the same thing. I mean, it's all these themes that we're teaching them or whatever. I know that's a different topic than what we're on, but come on, Prince Charming's not coming to save you. Save yourself, sister.
Well, and if I was act right, he will.
And I was reading this morning because, like I said, I didn't realize a controversy, right? So I was reading online some of the reviews and everything, and one of the other controversies was that. The lady was a princess, and she basically kissed a frog and became a princess and was a frog the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another part of the controversy.
I don't understand that point.
That's what that guy was just saying.
Yeah, I know.
Is that
but there's not
the
a
one time
princess on screen the whole time?
Oh, I see. That
this
she's a
frog, right?
And we don't get to see
exactly.
That, I gotcha. I gotcha.
The one thing I think is also so important is you talk about your family, but like when we go on Bert's Big Adventure, one of the things that Walt Disney World has is princess gowns,
right?
And they have the picture of the princess on the chest for the gowns. And so I am so excited that there is going to be a choice
Me
for
too.
Our black children to be
Me
able
too.
To go to Walt Disney
mm-hmm.
World
mm-hmm.
and not have to pick from all the white. Or even Indian princesses, they actually have one for themselves.
That's a controversy that I have every year. Every year around mm-hmm. Halloween time when my daughter wants to be a princess, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, baby, you can be a princess, but every princess has the princess of Cinderella on the front.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not a racist, but I wanted to see,
but
you
if
know.
You're in a minority,
you
want to
embrace yourself.
I want to see myself.
You
want to
see yourself.
So
right.
I can really appreciate Disney for doing this for the last, 100 years.
Right. Hey Mary, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I love you guys.
Thank you. Loving you right back, darling.
Yes. I think we're just overreacting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I don't know, we as black people, we can tend to criticize every little thing. And I just feel like, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, we should be happy about having a black princess. Stop criticizing about who cares about what color the prince is. I mean, this movie is for kids anyway. Are others looking at that? I mean, sometimes we as adults, we need to kind of, just step back from that.
There is no way to make everybody happy, I guess, in a movie like this.
And to her response, I mean, she said, what's the big deal? You could think that, but when your 8-year-old daughter comes to you and notices mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
It is, right. Mm-hmm.
Subconscious, she noticed that. So it is a big deal, and I think you should take it as a big deal.
And I also want to remind, white people are going to have a tendency, I think, to brush something like this off and say that there's no controversy at all. Mm. But if you're a white person, you don't know the black culture, and you've never had to live in the black culture your entire life and know what that's like.
Right.
So you really can't brush it off.
Right.
You really can't, because we just don't know.
Dang, Bert, you got a black pass, man.
Finally got the pass. Finally got it.
You got it
took
man.
This long.
You see, it's not that permanent. You still have an elf on the shelf.
Hey, Joy, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Bert Show. I really enjoy you guys every day.
Thank you.
I guess I'm just not aware so much of the racial controversy. That doesn't cross my mind. But now that I've heard this, I do think it's kind of cool that the little black girls will have a princess that mm-hmm. they feel like they can identify with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cool. But I almost feel like, Woody in Toy Story needs to say, it's a cartoon. You know, mm-hmm. the line from Toy Story where he tells Buzz Lightyear, you're a toy.
Right.
You're a child. And it's a cartoon. It's a story.
But when you were five, it was everything.
To just enjoy it instead of analyze everything to death.
Right. And adults do that. We leave that for the adults, not for the kids.
Yeah. And the only thing I want to disagree with is when I was 5 years old, right. I mean, these mm-hmm. cartoons were everything.
everything.
That's all you know.
Yeah, it's all you know. So it is so important for cartoons to be responsible in the best way they can for these children.
All right, so Hayden, my 7-year-old, what is this story all about?
The movie is about a prince that is really charming and handsome. And the next thing he knows, he's a frog. And then his servant, he's the prince. And then the prince kisses the... Then the prince kisses the... Then the princess kisses the frog.
Right.
And then she turns into a frog. And they go on this adventure and meet this alligator. They go to Lady Gaga's. And then the girl kisses him. And then they became humans again. The end.
Your kids ever get like that where they have so
funny.
Much they want to say and they just can't get it through the filter fast enough?
It sounds like Phineas and Ferb right in front of them. That's what it sounds like.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
It's supposed to happen tonight for Colleen at her Christmas party here.
Yeah, basically, Colleen called us up and told us she was in a really sticky situation because she works for a fairly small company, and she had her brother come to the company to get some work done. Well, her brother got this project done, but he didn't clear the check. He wrote the company a pretty big check, and it bounced. So she's been covering for him over the last 6 weeks trying to figure out what to do. Well, the boss of the company turned around and said, hey, we got all this, you know, money from this latest project, whatever. Let's turn around and give everybody Christmas bonuses. Ugh. And so tonight's the holiday party where everybody's supposed to receive their bonuses. Plus, the boss told one of the 6 employees at the office that they were getting bonuses. So it's probably spread like wildfire, and it's not going to be necessarily a surprise tonight. It's actually going to be expected at the holiday party. So we were telling her the other day she needed to go get a loan or something to figure it out.
And there's one small little detail also that what she and her brother have been doing is a felony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a problem. So how's she going to make this right before the holiday party tonight? Colleen's back with us. Hey, Colleen.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser. When you called us a couple of days ago, I don't think any of us realized that what you were doing, that you could go to jail for something like that.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize it either.
So now that you do, what have you done about it?
Yeah.
I took some advice of some people that called, and I went to the bank I went with my brother to get a loan, and naturally I had to end up co-signing for him, my husband and I, which he's thrilled about, but... I'm still a little bit nervous because the check, we don't get the check until Monday, for the loan. So, I mean, I got the situation taken care of, but the checks are going out to, you know, all of my coworkers tonight. So,
well, if you
the money's not there yet.
Well, not that I've ever floated checks or had bad credit, but, you know, if you get that money in there before 2:00 on Monday, then you should be fine.
Well,
what if somebody is tonight?
Even if they deposit the check tonight, it doesn't.
What if they walk the check into the bank tomorrow?
It still won't clear till Monday.
It still won't clear till Monday
on the weekends, even though they're open.
Will they check
it? They'll put it in, but it won't process until Monday.
Mm. And by that time, she'd have the cash in.
And
there.
If you get that cash in there in the bank Monday morning, then things should be fine.
Fingers crossed, hopefully. The loan comes through on Monday.
Yeah, and what if it doesn't?
Right, I know. I've never taken out a loan like this before, you know, other than just like your standard home financing. So there's just all this paperwork, and they're saying it's going to be done on Monday, but I'm just like, what if somebody walks into the bank and tries to cash the check?
Have you been approved for the loan?
My husband and I have been approved he was approved with, my brother was approved with us as co-signing for him.
Okay. So your brother is taking responsibility for it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, being as though he hasn't come forward with the money for the website, I mean, who knows if he's going to pay the loan? So that just created stress in my household.
Tara has
the whole thing's a disaster.
Yeah, totally.
It is.
I never work with family. It's a lesson learned, but I just, so nervous about tonight.
Mm-hmm. Here's Tara. She has a theory. Hey, Tara.
Hey, Bert, love you guys' show.
Thank you.
I totally think the boss has set her up.
The boss has set her up?
He knows. He knows that the check's already bounced. He's the boss.
Really? You think that's possible, Colleen?
No, just because I know the type of person that he is. Like, he's a really good guy, and he's a very direct person that if he had a question, he would just come straight to me and ask. Hmm. It's out of character for him to do something like that.
So, well, you might actually pull this off.
It's going to be right down to the wire, though. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a no-sleep weekend.
I tell you what, Monday is going to come, and every time your phone rings, you're going to jump.
Can you post-date?
My heart's going to fall into my stomach.
Can you post-date their bonus checks to maybe Tuesday?
No, because the checks have already been cut because my boss wanted to physically hand them out tonight, so mm-hmm. he already has the checks in hand. Mm. He made me cut them last night before I left the office.
That money's got to be.
You're going to be fine. Wow. You know what? I know it's nerve-wracking, but if what Melissa says is still accurate.
It's still accurate from the days in which I had no credit.
Because I did that too, floating the checks from here and there. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can get it in by whatever your bank's cutoff is, then you're cool.
What I will say is you're one of the only listeners who's actually listened to the advice and immediately done something about it.
No kidding.
That's pretty impressive that, you know, you didn't realize how serious it was, but as soon as you did, you went to your brother, got it figured out, co-signed the loan. Like, you're replacing the money. You're making up for your mistake. And I'm impressed because that never happens on our show.
Yeah, this has to end well or it's going to send a really bad message out to other listeners.
That's
they've been right all these years.
I don't know. I'm just nervous.
Yeah, I'd be nervous too if I were you. There's a lot at stake here.
So we need to talk to you on Tuesday to see if everything went well on Monday.
Yeah, if I got the loan.
Yeah.
If it didn't go well, will you use your one collect call to like, give us an update?
Right. If I don't answer my phone, I guess you'll know why. Because I got found out. I don't know.
Michelle here may put your mind a little bit more at ease. Hey, Michelle, go ahead. I got about 15 seconds.
Oh, I just wanted to tell her sometimes she needs to be aware that a large check like that, they'll hold them for about 5 days.
Oh, crap.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Before they release the money into the account.
Oh. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but the person that has the bonus check, I mean, they would know that. They're just happy they're getting the bonus at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if the money's not there, the money should have been there, what, a month ago or however long ago? It's
going
to be a
it.
Long weekend. I hope she likes to drink.
All right, Colleen, we'll talk to you early next week, okay?
All right, thank you guys so much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
Let me state the obvious here. These are the prime shopping days, probably this weekend. Like, next weekend, you're in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do the seasons right, you know, probably this weekend. You're going to head out at some point. You're going to start getting presents for Christmas, right? So let's have an open discussion here. 404-741-Q100. What really is a present and what is not a present?
Thank you.
Okay. You want to start? Because there are some people, like my wife, she just wants to open something. She just enjoys the tradition and the just loves opening packages. Like, I could put spoons, just one spoon, but she loves just... Oh, a spoon you shouldn't have. But there are some things that constitute a real present, a legitimate present.
Uh-huh.
And some things are just in the stocking or under the tree just for taking up space. And I think we need to define what is a present and what is not a present.
Okay.
And I think, and I know people are going to get mad at me because this is, you know, a grandmotherly thing. But among other things, my grandmother would give... Well, the ones I remember, like, after I moved out of the house, would give a small little box, and in it would be non-gift gifts.
But those are grandmothers get immunity for that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And, what's a non-gift gift? What are you even talking about?
Dryer sheets.
That's not a gift.
That's hilarious.
That's not a gift.
That's awesome. Like,
I don't care how old you are, Melissa. I don't care how old you are.
I know.
A dryer sheet, if I might.
You gotta choose your battles, and I'm not going to battle grandma.
Okay, well, take grandma out of it because the tradition has been continued. Like, and they're like, we will get a box for whatever reason. And what time is it? Okay, they're not listening. For whatever reason, my parents, if you mention it one time that you like something or they even see you like eat something or whatever, they get this weird thing in their mind that that's like your favorite food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every year we will get a gift wrapped bag of Oreo double stuffed cookies.
Because at some point you said one was good?
We must have had him. Like, we were, I think
not
we were
a gift.
Here's where I disagree
right.
with you. That is a gift.
No, it's not.
It is
a gift.
Here's my line of delineation, my definition. See, that gift right there came from a place of love.
Yeah.
The ones that are just random and can be given to anybody and they're just filler ones, like coasters. Or
that is a filler one.
That's a filler one, but not the Oreo one. There's a connection. They think you love that food, so that's a legitimate gift.
But it's not like it's there's no challenge to it. Guess what? If I really was a huge Double Stuff fan, just go to Kroger and buy them.
They're special, and they think they're special.
Homemade. You know what they need? If they gift wrapped me homemade cookies, bring it. Then now you're telling a tale. But if they bought something with a 2-for-1 coupon and they kept one and gave me the other one, not a gift. NAG.
Lauren, what goes on the not a gift list?
One of those tin containers with the popcorn in it. I mean, what is that?
I love that.
No way. That's crap. She's right.
The cheese is the best.
They take up space. They are a nightmare.
That's not a real gift.
It depends.
The cheese popcorn is so yummy.
It depends on who's giving it to me. If it's somebody that doesn't know me and they don't know what to get me and they got me the tin of popcorn, I mean, it's a sweet gesture.
It's a business
sweet gesture.
Gift.
Yes. But if it's my sister, then I'm mad.
Right. Yeah. You know? Unless at one point or another you have told her how much you love cheddar popcorn. Then if you get a tin filled with cheddar popcorn, it's legit.
Right.
But if it's random, like Jen said, that's a business associate gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a family gift. Not legit. Hey, Heather, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I was listening to Jeff, and I have to agree. My grandmother would always give us a box of chocolate-covered cherries. And I hate chocolate-covered cherries.
Oh, but she thinks you love them.
Oh,
that
immunity.
Happened to my aunt for years. One year, somebody gave that to my aunt, my mom's younger sister, and so she, you know, overreacted just to be polite to the gift. She got them for like 10 years straight,
yeah,
and then one
happen.
Year she just broke down crying on Christmas and was like, I have to confess to y'all something.
Over the cherries?
She's like, I don't like them at all. They're horrible, and I am upset every year you get them for me.
Underwear for your men is not a legitimate present unless it's something that you really dig. You know what I'm saying? Unless if you're
boxer
getting the underwear
shorts
for a guy that is going to turn around in a present later on in the night for him. You know what I'm saying? That's
well,
legit.
What about that
but daily underwear? That's not a present.
Well, guys only get underwear twice a year, your birthday and Christmas, so we got to buy it for you.
I buy my own underwear.
Indeed.
Some guys
save
don't.
That.
What if you got as a gift that underwear from that catalog Jen Hobby had with the fake package in it?
You're not allowed to give that to your husband or your boyfriend.
or your
that's a deal breaker, right?
Or your grandson.
Whatever.
Ew, dude. She's just trying to help you out.
Good morning. I got that when I was 10.
Hey, Mary, you're on Q100.
Hey.
Hi.
All right, kitchen gadgets are not gifts.
What?
Kitchen gadgets.
Okay.
Kitchen gadgets. Okay, so like, for example, I don't cook. If my husband wants to eat, he does the cooking. Otherwise, I call in for pizza or order takeout or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the kind of like the family joke that I don't cook. So I started getting like kitchen gadgets, and my mother-in-law got me a can opener. So kitchen gadgets are not gifts whatsoever.
They are gifts, though, for kitchen people.
Mm-hmm.
But not yet. Well,
I would love that. I mean, I would love kitchen gadgets and you know, all that kind of stuff.
I think this falls under the whole, if it's generic and it can go to anybody, it's not a gift. But if you told me that you're a real kitchen person, then it's a legit gift.
Right.
Good morning, Steven.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Great.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Used items are not Christmas gifts.
Like what?
You know how everybody has that crazy relative? Well, mine's my aunt. She took a movie, and instead of wrap, you know, she had already used it. So she took saran wrap and tried to wrap it back up.
That's
and
weird.
Make it seem
that's
like
fun.
It was a real, you know, unopened gift.
You know
she
what?
Wrapped.
I got to defend that because it could have been new and it could have been tempting.
Oh, no.
There's a
oh,
gift.
No.
No.
Because she also gave my sister a used candle.
Oh. How do you know it was used?
The poor aunt. This is the rich aunt.
That's a violation.
That's
yes,
hysterical.
Yeah, it's a technical violation. It's a foul.
The reason I was talking about that is because I had to quickly wrap a gift for my brother that had to do with a gaming system that Katie saw that I had gotten for him, And she eyed it like, well, he's not going to get it for another couple of weeks, so why don't we use it? So I had to wrap it quickly so that she wouldn't tear into the box and then try to reseal it and then rewrap it.
But if it's a candle.
The candle.
With the burnt wick on the top.
Right. That's bad.
Do you think there's anyone listening right now who will admit that they are currently using someone's Christmas gift? And then on Christmas Eve, they're going to pack it back up like they...
Not a gift.
Yes.
Absolutely. Not a present.
Absolutely.
Melissa just said Katie Jo did it.
If it's a gaming system, it's a video game. If it's absolutely... So it's like
I'm looking for a parents who've got their kids' Xbox in the master bedroom, like hidden in dad's dresser drawer.
Testing it out, Jeff. Yeah. That's what they're doing is testing it out for Christmas.
Making sure it works.
Right.
That's right.
Been testing it out for 3 weeks now.
Right.
It's working pretty well.
It's working great.
Hey, The Bert Show. The Bert Show.
Previously on The Bert Show.
We've been married for 8 years. I have a job. My husband works. As far as the bill paying, he does everything. Around Thanksgiving, I was thinking about the fact that I don't know what's going on. And I'm looking through stuff, and I saw this payment for like $500. And it's a car payment. And I'm kind of freaking out a little bit. I haven't said anything to him.
So at that point, she didn't know anything about the payment. Mm-hmm. So we suggested to her, don't panic yet. Do the research on it. So she did. And the last time she came on, she said, yeah, there's a real car. And there are a couple of names on it. And one of them's not mine. But she didn't know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
The bank wouldn't tell her
because
that,
because since it's not her name, Honda couldn't tell her.
You can't legally disclose that.
So Nicole is back. Hey, Nicole.
Nicole?
Hello? Hello? Thought she was back.
Hey, next time this happens, let's all pretend we can hear her except for Bert.
Really?
Let's try to get her back on. She must have lost connection. I was corrected on the camel toe.
Oh, no.
Why?
Somebody called to say that when the guy's jeans are too tight and you can sort of see his junk a little too much, it's a moose knuckle.
A moose knuckle? Stop it.
I personally like camel toe better. But moose knuckle apparently will work also.
You know,
I'm going to check out a moose knuckle now because I want to know what a moose knuckle looks like.
You know, moose knuckle used to play football against that Colt fella.
Moose knuckle.
That's what I'm going to name my firstborn.
Moose knuckle.
I think Tracy is getting Nicole back.
That's fantastic.
What is a moose knuckle?
I just can't believe there was finally a natural way for you to bring it up on
the
air.
Hey, Bert, I could have waited for months and months and months.
What was your question, Wendy?
A moose knuckle. Who looks at moose's feet?
Hmm?
Said it looks like a moose knuckle.
Wikipedia that.
See if... I am binging it. The search results you get is fantastic.
You are going to have so many viruses on that computer.
I know. Corporate's monitoring my computer right now.
What is this?
All right, she's back. Are we done with moose knuckling camel toeing? If that word catches on, I want credit right now, today.
The camel toe?
That I made that up. Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
Hi, you're back on The Voice Disguiser. How are you today?
I'm good.
Okay,
so the last time we talked to you, or the show talked to you, you had done a little research and found out that, yes, there is a car that has been being paid by your husband. There was another name on that, but you just didn't know who the name was because the bank sure wouldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Right.
Oh. All right, where are we now?
Well, it actually turned out to be okay.
Okay.
In that... I talked to my husband about it, finally confronted him, and basically there's this kid who works with him, and he's just fresh out of college, and he's been working with my husband. My husband really likes him, and just have a nice rapport, and unfortunately the company was having, cutbacks last year, and this young guy had the opportunity of either losing his job or taking a cutback, taking a pay cut. And he didn't want to lose the job. He really liked it, and he talked with my husband about it, and he confided in my husband that, he had this old car, that he was about to buy a new car, and with the pay cut, there was just no way he was going to be able to do it. And he has about a 45-minute to hour commute every day back and forth, each way, and he really needed a new car. And my husband just said, okay, we'll look into it, and I will co-sign a loan for you. And he's basically been paying my husband off. He took a part-time job in addition to the job he has working at my husband's company. And my husband said that he didn't want to tell me because we did have an agreement about 3 or 4 years ago. Something came up in our family, and we agreed that we would, neither one of us would ever co-sign a loan for anyone. And he didn't want to tell me because he knew of that agreement, and he kind of felt that he wasn't really doing anything wrong because this young kid was paying him back, so it wasn't like he was giving anybody money for free, you know? And I started crying, actually, when he told me, and I felt really bad that I even doubted him, to be honest. And, you know, everything worked out, everything was fine, and, you know, that it just, it was a nice end, and I was relieved, but deep down in my gut, I knew that it was going to be okay. So it was a nice ending kind of thing to this kind of traumatic thing that happened.
Yeah, like this is an acceptable breach right here.
Yeah.
Because he is helping somebody else out. There is a breach there.
And it's not money coming out of your pocket that you don't know about. He just was helping out. But did it still make you feel weird that he couldn't tell you about it?
Yeah, we talked about that, you know, and then he said, yeah, but you couldn't talk to me either, you know, and so there were a couple issues that came up because of that, and, you know, I believe him. I mean, I trust him. You know, my husband's a good man, and I had some things going on, I guess, that, you know, yes, I was disappointed that he didn't tell me, you know, but ultimately, it's kind of worked itself out.
You know, this has a little hint of that theory that I've told you that I have been able to use on Stacey from time to time, is, and it goes something like this. If I go out and I spend money on something and I tell Stacey that I spent $1,300 and she's utterly shocked, how could you spend that much money on golf clubs when I really only spent $400? She would normally be upset by the $400, but mentally I prepared her for the $1,300, so followed up by the $4, it seems okay. She had it in her mind that this guy was paying for a car for another woman. So when he comes forward and he's like, it's a coworker, everything's okay. While that might not have been acceptable if he just said months ago, if he just said, this is what I did, she's still worked up over the other thing. This
Thank
is no
God.
Problem.
Okay, good.
No problem. Here is Jennifer. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I have a question for the lady on the line. Has she actually looked at the paperwork for the loan?
No.
He's already lied to her once. She needs to look at the paperwork. She needs to see it for herself.
Have you seen?
Call me cynical.
Have you seen that, Nicole? Have you seen the paperwork on it?
Yes, I have, actually. Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, so you know the names on the loan, and you did verify that it was this young boy.
Yes, there's both signatures are on the loan. My husband co-signed it, and this young kid's name is on there as well, and the terms, everything is on the paperwork. And
right.
The actual amount, the $502, that's all there. Like, everything is there, yeah.
Listeners are going to have a tough time with this.
It worked out okay.
There doesn't seem to be any real deception here. There's not another woman. He did it out of the goodness of his heart. It's going to be hard for you guys to listen to. We appreciate you sticking through this whole thing.
This is going to be very difficult for you to withhold your comments at this positive outcome on the Burt Show.
We're just flexing a new muscle today, people.
Yeah, we've got to take some responsibility for that because we've trained our listeners well.
And amid the whole Tiger scandal, everybody's a little skeptical.
Right.
In the past 8 years, I think people are pretty skeptical.
Yeah. So let's just allow it to be what it is.
Well, she saw the paperwork, so
she
has
saw
the proof.
Paperwork. Right. All good. All right, Nicole, thank you very much for giving us some closure on that.
Get it? The Burt Show. You're on The Burt Show.
Jen, you can help me with a problem here.
What's up?
So my wife, Stacy, is smoking again. And I have embraced the thought that pressuring her is not going to make her stop smoking. She is going to smoke until she is ready to stop. I have embraced that now. So there's no more pressure, or at least I'm minimizing my pressure as much as I can. And I'm hardly talking to her about it at all now. She's going through a really stressful time right now. We got some financial stuff going on, some other stuff. So she's lighting up. And I think she's a lot like you in that she quits, goes a long time, man, doesn't smoke. And then it just takes a little bit of stress, or it takes going out one night with some friends. She gets that cigarette in the mouth, man, and it one becomes two, becomes three, and all of a sudden,
it is that,
smoking every day.
Yeah, it is that crutch that's easy to fall back on, and then you pick up the habit right all over again.
And I even see her beating up herself over it every single day. Like, I've heard her say that it's so disgusting. Like, you guys were having a smoke the other night, and you, I guess, were in a really smoke-filled room. And she walked out of there, and she's like, I hate the way I smell right now. I just want it out of the room. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it.
I don't want the smoke in my clothes. I want it in my lungs.
But she keeps going back. Like, to a non-smoker, it doesn't make any logical sense to me, but I understand what she's going through. So I'm not pressuring her anymore, okay? However, I just think it's so gross, y'all. I mean, it's just, it's so gross. And it just doesn't affect her. Like, when she's outside smoking on the porch or whatever, right? And she's wearing one of my jackets. When she comes back in the house, now I put that jacket on later and it smells like smoke. When she comes back in the house and I go to give her a kiss, I can smell the smoke in her hair. When she's walking around now, I can just smell it, you know? So my question, I'm not even sure what my question is. Like, I know she's going through a tough time and I know she's smoking. But as the non-smoker in the house, am I allowed to set up some rules on how she can smoke around the house?
Oof.
Yeah, I don't even know how to approach it.
Good luck.
I think that depends on...
Guard your camel toe.
You know, I honestly feel like it depends on the person, you know, because in some situations, it would make you want to smoke less if you knew it was grossing somebody out, that you wanted to not be grossed out by you. But in other ways, it could make you rebel against it. You know, and say, well, screw you. You're not telling me what to do.
How do I address it without making it sound like I'm pressuring her to stop smoking? Because I really am not. I just don't want to see it, and I don't want to smell it, and I just don't. I sort of want to just turn the other cheek. But that's really hard with smoking because it reeks.
No matter how many times or how good people smokers think they are at hiding their cigarette smoking, you'll never not be able to smell it.
I don't know about that. I know somebody that's hid it from their spouse for a very long time.
I don't believe that. I think there's
unless the spouse is turning the other cheek and doing the same thing I'm doing now, maybe.
Yep.
So what do I do? How do I approach it?
I don't know because I really feel like it's an individual couple kind of thing because I wouldn't want to tell you to point. So my original thought was, well, point it out to Stacey. Just say something like, you know, would you mind not wearing my jacket when you go out because I don't want it to smell like smoke when I wear it later? Like, I think that's a very reasonable request and that wouldn't be something that would upset me. I would feel embarrassed. I would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I wore your coat. But in your situation, in your relationship, she might be like upset about that. Like, God, Bert is just nagging and nagging and nagging at me. So I don't know what her response is going to be. And I think it depends on where she is in the stage of wanting to quit or not wanting to quit or not caring or caring or, you know what I mean? It's just such a different thing. I mean.
And I have a history of nagging her about it. And the non-nagging probably stopped just a couple months ago.
So she may throw everything you say about it into the nagging category, you know.
Are the holidays the wrong time to even bring it up? Bring it up.
I mean, I think it just depends on the person and depends on their own personal struggle with it. But I mean, you're right in that she's only going to be able to do it herself, that she's going to have to come up with it on her own. And I don't know in what ways that you can give her examples or encouragement or advice or direction or anything at all. I mean, I think.
What would you be open to? Let's say it was you. Let's say it was you. And you had a boyfriend who just is so anti-smoking in every way, shape, or form. What could he say to have you bring your guard down?
You know, it's tough. Probably that it was gross. Probably that it grossed him out. Like
that doesn't put the wall up for you?
That he wouldn't want to kiss me because it smelled like that.
She already knows that, though. I don't know what to do.
I think you should start kissing Jen. Until you're only going to kiss Jen until...
Great idea.
That's why I didn't ask you, Jeff.
Just trying to help.
Good morning, Sue. You're on Q100. Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a non-smoker. Never have been. But does your wife only smoke outside? She does not smoke in your house, correct?
No.
Oh well, that's good. And I my other suggestion was for you to buy her a box of commits for the holidays and wrap them up for her.
What are commits?
They help you quit smoking.
See, I don't want – that's not my intention here. My intention is not to force her or suggest that this is the time for her to not smoke. I'm embracing the idea that, look, she's not capable of doing it right now.
She's not, but you know what? It when you're a non-smoker and somebody is smoking, it is disgusting.
I know that, but I
– yeah, I know you love your wife.
I mean, it's a deal breaker for me and Katie, and she knows that. Because Katie and I are both former smokers, and I think Katie's far more tempted than I am, and I would leave her if she started smoking again.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would. I absolutely would.
You would give up the entire relationship?
Yes, I would.
If she started smoking again?
Yes, I would.
Really?
That's your line in the sand.
Because my health is far more important than her smoking. I'm not going to tiptoe around her. She knows that.
Now, keep in mind, Stacey's not smoking anywhere where I'm smelling the smoke off the cigarette. It's just on her clothes, in her hair, in her mouth, on a jacket that we're sharing, in her car when I borrow the car.
No, I love Katie, but it comes down to health for me. And if she disregards hers, then she can't be with me, who has to constantly be concerned about mine.
Good morning, Lynn. You're on Q100.
Good morning. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you that there is this new drug that they've got out, and it's called Chantix. Chantix. And this drug works.
Yeah, you guys are having a harder time accepting this concept than I am now, and this is happening in my own house. I don't want to make any suggestions to her that now is the time for her to stop. I'm okay with that. What I'm asking is, how does a non-smoker live with a smoker? What can you say to have them have zero trace that there's smoke around the house?
It's smoking courtesy. So what do you do for somebody who doesn't?
It's a weird question.
I don't know.
I know the answer. I think you should tell her to try hypnosis.
I suggested that to her.
And then, I'm sorry. You should try the hypnosis so you don't smell cigarette smoke anymore.
Don't see anything coming in that has a really good. Everybody is making suggestions on how to get her to stop smoking, but that's not what I'm.
Well, I think my intention. You probably should be asking who has successfully had a relationship where one's a smoker and one's not. Yeah. And I don't know of any.
If you have a friend who's hiding it from their spouse, why don't you go to the friend who's successfully hiding it and say, what are you doing?
Serious.
Right.
That might be the answer right there.
It's the solution.
Hey, Amy, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. Hi. Bert, I just want to say I think it's great, the place that you're in now. And sometimes it's not so much maybe what we say, but what we do. And if you're going to release a lot of the pressure off of her, she may put the pressure on herself because she's frustrated, she's disgusted by it. But when you're pressuring her, all of that stuff gets anger toward you, but you're releasing it, so now she can deal with it, and you'll support her, and you'll still care about it, but you're not going to put it on her because you know she's doing what she can. So then she may just get sick of it and pressure herself to stop.
Smokers have this weird love-hate relationship with smoking.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like it before. She loves it. I mean, in 1 week, she'll tell me, you know why I'm not giving up smoking? Because I like it so much. Those words have come out of her mouth.
Really?
Yes. And the next week, she's like, I hate smoking. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hate everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have any suggestions, go ahead and email me, q100atlanta.com.
Listen, it's The Bert Show.